our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood, as the pastor mentioned here, who shed his blood that we might have everlasting eternal life. We appreciate those staggering figures there of over a million war dead, and for the freedom that they have guaranteed us. I know things aren't perfect in America tonight, but I'll tell you what, if you visit third world countries, you come back here and you won't gripe about the price of gasoline. You won't gripe about the way things are in America, if you could see how it really is in third world countries, and how much it actually costs. Even in countries that are not third world countries, like Germany, where gas is, missionaries tell us, up $6, $7, $8 a gallon. And these war dead, they paid a great price, and I appreciate them. But that blood that they shed does not guarantee us salvation. And I knew I wanted to, the day before Memorial Day, just to bring a short message about our Savior. So I'm going to invite you to turn to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Where else would you go? The great 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. And I'd like to have us read that chapter. That's only 12 verses. That's not going to be a lot of reading. I have prepared and preached so many sermons that I knew that God was not in. And you get tired of that after a while. And I've tried in a number of years now not to be so concerned about preparing a message, rather concentrating on the fact that bringing the message that God has laid upon your heart. I believe the reason that is so important is because I believe that every service of every church ought to be a service where the pastor who is preaching the word, I'm just the guest here tonight, and I recognize that where the pastor preaches the word of God and the people come, it needs to fit. God needs to do something in your heart tonight that's beyond just preparing a sermon. I have the conviction that anybody could preach. I believe unsaved people could preach. I think they would have the talent to do it. It would be for naught, but God would probably bless his word. But I don't want to be someone who just prepares messages. You know, the A, B's, and C's, and the 1, 2, 3's, and all every other word has to rhyme. That's what they teach you in the homiletics class. I heard Brother Doug Fisher last week say that he is a non-homiletic preacher. He says, I just preach. I don't know anything about all these gadgets, these numbers on pages. And those who have ever heard Pastor Doug Fisher from San Diego preach know that he's a great man as far as the Bible is concerned and can really hold you in awe as he preaches. And it amazes me how God reveals things and how God, the relationship that man has with the Word of God. So I guess maybe the older you get, the more you see the errors of your life. And I love preaching, but my desire is tonight that the little time we'll spend together here, that God do something in your heart and God do something in my heart. He already has. I love Western New York. It's my first time in Washington, my wife and I, and one of our girls here, the travel tour, was here last year and the year before that, I think. I like it here, and God's been good to us. We've been blessed, and we've enjoyed the services. We've been very busy. The girl we got in here way late Thursday night, so we had to miss the camp meeting, but we got in the camp meeting Friday, and they sang. We got in the camp meeting Saturday, they sang. We were in church this morning and church tonight. They'll be in camp meeting Monday and Tuesday. Then we have to leave for Eastern New York on Wednesday morning to be in service there. on Wednesday evening, we covet your prayers as we go. Why don't you just stand with me in honor of God's word? We usually do this in our church, but I think it's not something the church, we do in our church. We just honor the Bible, honor the word of God here tonight. Isaiah chapter 53. Let's just put the devil on the run tonight. Let's all read this in unison. That I love to hear a whole bunch of people reading the Bible. And I think the devil probably says, I really can't deal with that. All right, let's start there with verse number 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison, from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Let's pray. Father, bless your precious, holy, inspired word tonight. Speak to our hearts through the great ministry of your Holy Spirit. Bring the results, Lord, that you desire tonight. They go beyond the desires of men, Lord. Just speak to our hearts in these few minutes that we should share. We thank you for the word of God tonight, the privilege of being here for these people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Suggested outline. You may be seated, of course. Of that chapter, verse number 1, the infidelity of the Jews. What was their infidelity? Unbelief. And that is what ours is also. Roman numeral number 2, the humble, lowly appearance of Christ. Verse number 2. That's, the Bible says in verse number 2 that he was tender. Roman numeral number 3, hatred with which they treated him. Verse number 3 says that they despised him. Number 4, Roman numeral number 4, meekness, suffering of Christ and pardon. Verse number 6. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Roman number 5, the submission of Christ, verses 7 through 9. He opened not his mouth. And then lastly, Roman number 6, hope for the multitudes, justify many. Do you know, beloved, tonight, if you happen to come by the church house here tonight and you're unsaved, you know There is no reason for you to stay unsaved. The Bible makes it very plain here in this great psalm here that the Bible says here that that my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. I chose for the key verse, actually the previous chapter, chapter 52, where we have a picture of Christ, number 3 here, number 13, verse 13 of the 52nd chapter. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them they shall see, and that which they had not heard they shall consider. Let me just share the things that I want to bring to your attention tonight here in this great 53rd chapter. Many, many years ago, we had a local pastor who was about maybe 20 miles from my church in Jackson, Michigan. I had him come over to preach to us, our people, for a few nights. And I remember one night, I always asked him, I said, Brother David Wood, he's in heaven tonight. God bless him. He was a great pastor of a local Baptist church there in our area. He said, be sure and give me the title of your messages. I want to remember the title of the messages that you're going to preach here in our church there this week. And one night he said, I know that I had better give Brother Jenkins the title of my message, or he will certainly ask me for it. And he was preaching from the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, and here was what he titled that chapter, and I never forgot it. I forgot most every other thing, but I never forgot the sermon he preached that night. And here's the way he titled it. While men were busy, God was working. Boy, I like that. While men were busy, God was working. You can see all through this 53rd chapter of Isaiah. I actually call this chapter the chapter displaying the life of and the death of the sin bearer. I like that, brother. I like tonight to relish in the thought that somebody bore my sins and I don't have to go to hell tonight. I have an eternal life to look forward to. I like that. The sin bearer, Isaiah 50, that's a good title for that. It speaks about the vicarious sufferings of Christ, but he became our sin bearer. Over there in that 52nd chapter, we see his exaltation followed by his humiliation. And I think it's a great section of scripture verses there, verse 13, 14, and 15. It shows how he was exalted, but also how he was humiliated and his own humiliation as he made his trek up Golgotha's hill for you and for me. And number one tonight, just let me just share with you the sin bearer's rejection. We find that in verses 1 through 3. Look at it one more time. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. And by the way, the best part of the sermon tonight is the reading of the Bible. I'm going to give God all the credit for the sermon tonight. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Then that third verse says, he is despised. He is rejected of men, a man of sorrows. And acquainted with grief, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. You know, Memorial Day, we go to the cemetery, and I'm for that. I love to do that. I love to go to the cemeteries, walk through the quietness and the stillness of cemeteries, and read the printing on the stones, and see the graves of dad and mom, and see the graves of maybe in cases where the children have passed away, see the American flags waving, where they're marking the graves of all of the soldiers. And you know, beloved, we go there in honor of them. We honor them. We thank God for them. But why don't we do that for Christ? Why do we not honor the Lord? What if we do not do that, beloved, then we share in his rejection. The reason a person is not saved tonight is simple. They've rejected Christ. If you're saved tonight, and you come to church and you hear the preacher preaching about Jesus, you ought to just automatically say, Amen! Talking about my Savior. Doesn't that name thrill you a little bit? Sure, I know it does. We're all tired tonight, so you can't shout tonight. We do more a little bit of shouting in our church. I had to learn how to shout when I got up to Grace Baptist Church. And I told my son one time, I said, you know, I believe in shouting, but I'm getting so old that I can't bring it out. But I love people that are excited about what God has done for them. So we see there in those verses there the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He leaves the glories of heaven, the best that there is. He comes down here. He is the greatest missionary. He took the greatest missionary journey that anybody has ever taken. He came down to this earth to be rejected and to die on the cross of Calvary. We see, secondly tonight, the sin bearer's redemption, verses 4 through 6. Let me read those. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The sin bearer's redemption. I like that. You look at that verse there, look at those words there. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, my peace and your peace, was upon him. And with his stripes, not our stripes, with his stripes, thank God. Beloved, listen to me tonight. With his stripes, we're healed. We're healed. Number three, let's look at verses 7 through 9. The sin bearer's resignation. This ought to break your heart just a little bit. Verses 7 through 9 there, the sin bearer's resignation. Verse number 7, he was oppressed. And he was afflicted. Yet, the Bible says here, he opened not his mouth. Can you imagine that? He opened not his mouth. I got an article home. A lady in the church gave me a magazine about the Civil War. Both my son and I are students of the Civil War. We love that subject. Brother Dufour, our executive vice president of the college, I think he told me that he was, which war does he study a lot? World War II. But this book showed a picture of a rebel soldier dead, lying in the mud, and the caption went that something like this, you know, the picture of a Confederate soldier who died a lonely death at Petersburg. So did Christ. Christ died a lonely death. Boy, I appreciate every soldier that ever gave his life for this country. I don't know that we can really comprehend, preacher, what it's like to go to war and not come home. Not only that, as you mentioned tonight, moms and dads and families still, they don't know where their sons and daughters are. They're lost in the haze of war. Talk about a lonely, the proper death, the good death that they talked about during the Civil War was when a soldier died. He was to be at home. He was to be surrounded by his family. Encouraging words were to be said over the dying soldier. The good death is the comfortable one, where you have made the preparations. But Christ, our Savior, beloved, is hanging on a cross with nails driven through his hands and his feet, blood dripping down in his eyes, and because of the crown of thorns. And even the disciples didn't feel like sticking too close to him. The Bible says they all fled and went home. You and I probably don't be hard on them. That's probably what we'd have done too. But he died a lonely death, our Savior did. sin bearer's resignation. He was willing to do it. He was willing to take our place. And then this lastly, let me say the sin bearer's reward, verses 10 through 12. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to death, put him to grief. When thou, you got that, beloved, tonight, if you're here and you, as you look at your heart tonight and you're really not sure. You're just not sure tonight whether or not you're really a child of God. I know you, if you go to this church, you're going to a great church. I know that. And there's been great preaching behind this desk. I know that. But the thing that amazes you is how many people tonight are walking the streets of America who are not saved. And when we talk about tent meetings and we talk about soul winning, and I know there's a lot of it done, but that's why we're here. That's why we're here. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Verse 11 says, he shall see of the travail of his soul, shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Nobody needs to be lost tonight, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, just like the soldiers have. He hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. The hardest thing for a soldier and a soldier's family to face is not only the death of a soldier, but when he dies on enemy soil. The Bible says here he was numbered with the transgressors. Christ was numbered with the transgressors. You know what that means, so we won't even talk about it. He bare the sin of many, made intercession for the transgressors. Let me just say in conclusion tonight, that Christ bore every man's iniquities upon the cross. And if you die tonight and you go to a sinner's hell, it will not be God's fault. It will not be God's fault. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. Get that, beloved? He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Do you realize tonight, beloved, if you're not sure about this thing, you're taking a chance. You're taking a terrible chance. Not willing that any should perish. That's an awful word, perish. But that all, that includes you, it includes everybody, in your fair state, and in my fair state of Michigan, and all over where we go, but that all should come to repentance. We had one person saved this morning in our service, and many people came to the altar, not because of anything that I did, because being a guest in a church, I always turn the service over to the pastor because it's his people, it's his church. And let him direct the invitation the way that he wants to. But the altar was filled with people. Tears were flowing. And I think God gave us a great service this morning. I said this afternoon to somebody, I said, you know, the church was just packed. But it doesn't take a lot of people to pack out the church. But the church was packed today. And it was a great service, an encouragement to Brother Burt. Let's bow, please, for prayer tonight. I appreciate the joy of being together with you and bringing the girls to sing for you. I appreciate it with all of my heart. We don't take this lightly. Not at all. Thank you so much. Father in heaven, bless the invitation. You work, Lord, in people's hearts. Accomplish, Lord, your purpose. We'll be careful to praise you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name for your sake. Amen.